Thank you so much to Bank of St. Lucia for sponsoring our program, Youth Unplugged, right here on Radio Caribbean International, where we get to talk to some St. Lucians doing amazing things. Now, my guest this afternoon is the man, Mr. John Paul. First of all, bro, how did you get that name? Like, was it purposely done? Like, they named you after the Pope kind of thing? No? It's like, I don't know. I'm just saying.
I mean, my dad named me after him, so, I mean, it's just, I guess it's a blessing, you know? It's a blessed name.
I guess so, indeed. But John Ball, tell us a little bit more about yourself, man, because for those people who might not know who you are, where you hail from, etc., etc., etc.
Well, of course, my name is John Paul, and I'm 26 years old. I was born and raised in the community of Bexar. I got mom and dad, still alive and well. I got five siblings.
Five siblings? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I'm happy. You know, God has been good.
I imagine that. So let's talk about school. When you were in school, what primary school did you go to, first of all?
So I went to the Lave SDA Primary School. My family was born and raised 70 at Venice.
Okay.
So I was, you know, from, you know, kindergarten, I was in the Lave Primary School, and then from there, you know, I went to the Georgia Secondary School. Yes.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Now, I mean, let's talk about your experience in sports, because the most important question, I was trying to wait until later on to ask you that, but I'm going to ask you now. John Paul, how tall are you, man?
I'm 7 feet tall.
Does that height, like, run with the family?
Well, my parents, my dad is all his brothers. He has four brothers. He's 6'2", and I got uncles that's about 6'5". But my mother's family is tall as well. My mother's great-grandfather was 7 feet, and, you know, she was born and raised in the Millet area. But, you know, my granddad is 6'5", so. But my mom is short. But I would say, my family, you know, we have tall people in our family, yeah.
Oh, my God, 7 feet tall. And, like, so let's talk about, like, in like primary school. Were you average height? And then probably when you hit the, you know, puberty, you just shot up? Or how? I don't know. Tell me more.
In primary school, I would say I was average height. I was always tall. But, you know, I didn't really get a growth spurt until, I would say, form four. At Georgia Secondary School, and that's basically, you know, when I started really playing basketball. But yeah, I got a little growth spurt. I would say when I was in Form 4, I was about 6'1", 6'2". Yeah.
Wow. Yo! And I guess with that height, it's just probably automatic that you would probably, you know, lean towards the sport of basketball. How did that happen?
I mean, it was just one afternoon, you know. I was just, you know, I always loved sports, you know. And it was just one afternoon, you know. My coach, Benny Hippolyt from high school, who was the burst at the time at Joe Charles, he saw me and he's just like, yo, kid, like, what are you doing? Like, you wanna try for the basketball team? And, you know, at the time, you know, I was just like, you know, I don't know if that's something I want to do. And then, you know, he really made me fall in love with the game, you know, started taking me to his office. Looking at Kobe Bryant tapes and all the greats, the Hakeem Olajuwon ones and that kind of stuff. And that's where it started. He told me to come to practice. I came to practice one day. I'm like, damn, this is a lot. And then the other days, you know, it just started getting better, and then that's how I started playing.
And how did it grow to you actually leaving St. Lucia and, you know, playing all over the world? Let's talk about that, like your first recruitment. Who was that with? How did that happen?
My first recruitment was from the ISC Academy. Coach Gabriel English, you know, he's one of those guys, you know, that found me. And, you know, it's a blessing to have men like that in St. Lucia that find talent and, you know, maximize the talent and open a door for you. And it's basically, you know, I was done with secondary school, you know, and I heard about this guy from the U.S., you know, who's been trying to help St. Lucia basketball alongside with of the St. Lucia Basketball Federation is Leslie. And you know, he just opened up a camp where I could have come and showcased my talent. And then, you know, he was the one that helped me to get to the U.S. And, yeah, he was the guy that helped me. Got my transcripts, my paperwork, and that kind of stuff. So it really opened up the door for me. Yeah.
What was the first team that you played with over in the U.S.?
The first team I played for was for Central Park Christian. Was in Birmingham, Alabama. And it was different, you know, going down to the South.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little different. It was a culture. It was a different culture, you know.
Let's talk about that. How different was it, and what was so different about it?
I mean, in general, you know, the level of basketball in St. Lucia was not at that level at all at the time. You know, St. Lucia basketball has gotten better over the years, and you know, it will continue to progress and get to that level. But at the time, it was just, you know, wow, you know. And I remember the Ministry of Sports and Coach Gabe and all the guys were telling me, like, it's gonna be different because, you know, playing in St. Lucia is just like, okay, like, I can do this and I can do that and I can get away with this and I can dunk on this guy and I can lay up on this guy. But, you know, the speed of the game was definitely a difference. You know, how the guys took basketball, like, you know, basketball was the only thing that mattered, you know, and they practiced every day in the summertime, you know. And when I was home after secondary school basketball, you know, we only practiced to get ready, you know, during the time for the tournament. So it was just that difference at the time.
That's pretty interesting, and you know, yeah, how serious they took it. What was it like moving from Bexar to moving to the Dirty South in terms of, not necessarily in terms of basketball, but just how different was it for you moving to, you know, the U.S.?
Wow, you know, it was different for me because, I mean, I'm from Bexar, you know. Bexar, I love Bexar, but Bexar is a very small community. You're very... where I'm from is in the Labe, so that's close to the Badlands.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very, you know, sheltered by my parents. You know, my parents really tried to, you know, let me know that that school and just applying myself in education and the sport that I love would get me where I was going. So it was different because I was raised in a small community and I had to, like, go into, like, a big city like Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with so much cultural history, you know, Martin Luther King and his speeches and him being in Birmingham and really fighting for civil rights, you know, it was almost like a freedom movement over there when I got there. You know, everybody used to talk about him and talk about Black Lives and how important it was to play basketball and how he opened up so many doors for the people at the time. So it was just different in that way.
That's pretty amazing. At any time, yeah, where you're like homesick, like Gasa, you know, that I had enough of this big country thing, I have to go back home. Like, did you ever have that kind of feeling?
Yeah, definitely. I went there, you know, I was 17, 18, you know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, I didn't know what I would expect, but, you know, I was like, you know, and basically my journey has been on my own. You know, I didn't really have, you say, like, to say I have, like, my role models, you know, was Gabriel, you know, and that's really what I had at the time, you know. So I didn't really have someone to be there for me because he was not able at the time, so it was just me. Wow. And I was, you know, for a time, I was really just trying to do everything on my own. And, you know, sometimes you just have to, you know, be able to, you know, trust in people and just hope that they have your best interest. And it was an adjustment for me, you know, just being able to be on my own, going to school on my own.
Yeah.
We lived with a host family at the time, so it was, you know, like, I have to be eating, you know what I'm saying, you know, those grits and that bacon in the morning and something that, you know, they do every day, you know
oh
what I'm saying?
Oh, my goodness. So,
you know, it was different, but, you know.
But how are you able, like, I mean, you're raised Adventist, so how are you able to eat the bacon, you know?
it was, at the time, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, it wasn't difficult for me, but, you know, I'm someone that was just like, you know what?
Adjust accordingly.
Adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
And, you know, just trust you know, my instincts, and you know, it was cool for me. So I didn't really have a problem. I ate the bacon though. Yeah.
Of course, I would have probably eaten it too. So after that first experience, let's talk about you know, as you started to grow professionally. Let's run through some of the experiences from Alabama, then on to wherever else after that. Tell me more.
So from Alabama, it was a little difficult for me. Going to high school in St. Lucia, you know, my grades were not, you know, where it's supposed to be. And I was always one of those guys, you know. And I'll be honest, and, you know, basketball saved me, you know. I went to Lalamere, so I played for the Birmingham Storm one summer, and I was like, wow, everyone was like, you know, this guy has a lot of potential. And I went to Lalamere, one of the most decorated basketball institutes in Indiana, LaPorte, Indiana. You know, so many basketball stars have come out of that prep school. And I went to Lalamere. But when I was ready to go to university, man, I had Mississippi State, Kentucky interested in me, some of the biggest schools, Auburn. And the reality check came in that I didn't have the core classes to be able to get to those schools. Mm-hmm. And I was able to go for clearinghouse. So, you know, at the time, you know, I was a little bit bummed, and I had to, from Lalamere, you know, we won the Indiana State championships. But from Indiana, I had to go to Salt Lake in Utah, and, you know, it was an adjustment for me to sit down and just, you know, I had to register my year there. It was a JUCO, and I had to sit down and really, you know, see where I wanted to be as a basketball player. Mm-hmm. It was so crazy, you know. I remember when I finished Lalamere, man, I was all over the Indiana news when it comes to basketball, and you know, all the schools wanted me, and you know, was almost on the verge of signing the Florida Gators, and then the clearinghouse was the reason why I stopped, and I couldn't sign with them. So, you know, going to Salt Lake, you know, I met Gary Payton Jr. And, you know, it was a good mentor for me at the time. He was the son of the legendary guy, Peyton the Glove, who played for the Supersonics and the Los Angeles Lakers. And he really guided me, you know, and it was good for me. And then from Salt Lake, when I registered that year, I went to TJC, Tyler, Texas, and that's where I met Coach Mike and Mike Marquise, and he changed my life, you know. Won the region championship, went to the Elite Eight in the JUCO. A tournament. On my first time, I really won a championship. I lost my championship against Buford Comprehensive. You know how those guys were back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know what I mean? Well, we got into the finals and we couldn't beat those guys. You know what I'm saying? They out there, you know, running, you know, all the time, you know. And one thing about that school, though, they were always fit. You know what I'm saying? And that was one of the things that really, till this day, I'm upset. I'm sorry, but I'm really upset that we lost. And it's a loss that is on my mind. And I wish I could get back with those guys and play them one more time so we could beat them. But
I like that.
Yeah, I went to Tyler, Texas. I met Coach Marquise, and he really helped me. And that's when I had more college coaches coming at me. But I met one guy, and he stood out for me. And at the time, you know, schools and that kind of stuff really didn't bother me where I went because, you know, I already had the attention. I just wanted to go to a school where I felt like the coach wanted me that bad, you know? And there was one coach that came to see me practice every day in Texas, and he was from Manitoba, Canada.
Wow.
He was from Manitoba, Canada, and Coach Gilchung, every single day, you know what I'm saying? Every other weekend, this man, you know, would make sure that he sends a representative or somebody to see me practice, and it was a no-brainer for me, like, when I spoke to him, he, what he wanted to do for Brown University and the program, which won national championships in the 70s and the 80s and the early 90s, he wanted to, you know, rebuild the school's basketball program, and that's where I went. I went to Brown University from 2015, 2017, and I would say this really got me ready for playing professionally.
That's pretty interesting. That's a lot of schools, and it must have been nerve-wracking at times. But at any time, did you ever feel like, you know, yeah, I'm the man? And did that ego ever kick in, or because of your humble beginnings and backgrounds, you were able to just keep focused on the bigger picture and not necessarily let your ego come into play?
Yes, there were times when you feel like, you know, wow, I've done this, you know. From where I'm from, you know, I'm from Little Bexo, Labe. And I'm like, look at where I am right now. Like, I'm winning region championships. I'm playing the game that I love. You know, I remember this one game. We had a rivalry game against Kilago. And we beat them. And I had, like, 25 points, 10 rebounds. And, you know, I was just like, wow. You know, like, I really, you know, played a really good game. And I really helped my team, you know, beat a rival. And, you know, winning the championships, you know, really was gratifying. But I was just, like, really humble about it because I knew where I was from and I knew the opportunity I was given. And, you know, sometimes I really try to be perfect, you know. And, you know, in life, you can't really be perfect. You're going to have, you know, ups and downs. Things going to come your way. So you just have to be able to, you know, fight through the adversity and overcome the adversity. So, you know, it was something that really made me stay focused and humble, just the fact that I knew where I was coming from and where I was trying to go.
What are some of the biggest challenges you have ever faced throughout your career?
Throughout my career? So my first year in Brown University, you know, I knew what was coming. You know, I knew it was a new set of players. So it was an adjustment when it comes to the coaching staff and trying to put players together to win games. My first year in Brandon, you know, out of 29 games, you know, we only won 7 games. And, you know, I think that was one of the challenging years for me. Because you see, like, you go out there and you go to the gym and you put all the work in. And when you go play for the Canada West Championships and university basketball in Canada, you only win 7 games out of 29. And so I remember after that year, Coach Gill was like, Coach JP, just trust the process. Trust that what we're doing. Trust in what I'm telling you. And, you know, this was one of the situations where I was like, okay, I just have to do the work and trust what he's saying. And being by myself, you know, I just had to, like, you know what, JP, this is what you want to do. You know, by any means necessary, you have to stay the course and keep working. And this was one of those years. After that year, we won the 7 games. The next year, we made the playoffs, you know, and it was just a big jump. You know, we had the city of Brandon, you know, bumping again because we were winning games, you know, and I was defensive player of the year. And, you know, I was leading the conference in double-doubles and rebounds. And it was that big year for me where we made it to the playoffs and we lost in the Elite Eight. And after that year, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm down for my senior year because in Canada, you could play 3 years, you know, after you play 2 years in junior college in the U.S.
Okay.
So I had 2 years to play, yeah. So my last year was in 2017, was my senior year. I was about to graduate. And I sprained my ankle.
Oh.
And, you know, I sprained it pretty bad. And, you know, I was one of the best players in the conference. So, like, coach was really trying to make sure that I stayed off my feet so that I could be ready for, you know, when the games that matters, you know, come, you know, which is playoff seeding and the championship games. So I remember that time, you know, I was just a little disappointed. I was never depressed. I never really make anything depress me or really put me down. You know, I was just in a mindset. I'm like, okay, I have to make sure I do what the physical therapist say and what the doctor say, and that's to rest my ankle. And, you know, being 7 feet, you know, putting a lot of, you know, it was different for me to run up and down on my ankles because of the weight I had. You know what I'm saying? I'm 7 feet, 250. You know, I'm not a little guy now. You know, so I had to really just trust what they said. And I remember those 2 months, you know, I'm like, damn, like that ankle is really bad. And I had to stay off my feet, I gained some weight, you know. And it was terrible coming back from the injury, you know. And I didn't really end the season the way I wanted to. But Brown University sent me off in grand fashion, and they really were appreciative of all the work that I did in the school community and in the basketball community. I mean, they made my senior night something special, something I'll never forget. You know, Coach Gill really spoke highly of me, and we really changed the program. And right now, Brown University, you know, are in the championship games. We lost, I think, in the Final Four against Powerhouse in Canada, which is Carleton, you know, wins championships all the years of year. So, you know, my senior year was, I would say, my most difficult year. Mm-hmm. My most difficult year.
John Paul, what's next? I mean, we want to hear talks of the NBA. We want to hear what's next?
So right now, after I played university, you know, I was going to put my name in the draft, but, you know, at the time I'm like, you know what? I want to play for my country. You know, I said I wanted to play for my country because, you know, I felt like it was important, injured or not. You know, I said I'm going to toughen it up, and that's after my injury in Canada. And I went to play for St. Lucia. But before I left, based on how I played in Canada, I had, you know, a couple of, you know, NBA teams coming to just looking at me. And when I got injured, you know, that's it. You know, sometimes when you get an injury, yeah, they stop looking at you. They stop, you know, focusing on you. And I was playing so good, you know, like I was all over the Canadian news when it comes to basketball. And, you know, those interests, you know, slowly faded away because of the injury. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to play for my country. And so I remember that summer we played in the FIBA tournament. And, you know, it was a learning experience for all of us, you know. We had great guys like Ron, you know, Andrew, all these guys. Marcy, you know, great leaders on the team that really helped the team. We had also Joe Apple, you know, one of the young guys, you know, that's promising players. You also got to look out for him because, I mean, this guy is something else, you know. His athleticism and the gifts that he's given, you know, is only from God. So, you know, I played for St. Lucia, and it was great. It was great, and I was back on the radar because I'm not no joke, and I'm a really good player, you know, when healthy. and that was it, you know. After the Caribbean tournament, I got a call from one of the basketball powerhouses in Salamanca in Spain. And I was like, my dream is not over. I remember it was one of the most, you know, happiest days of my life. You know, there's so many players that go to college and I graduate and never end up really living out that dream to play professionally mm-hmm. in any league. Man, I was out there in Spain, in Salamanca, Spain, the Golden City. That's what they call it. Mm-hmm. And I was playing for Aquila Media Cabajosa in the
Saki.
I was playing for Aquila Media Cabajosa in the Silver League, La Plata, in Spain. And that's like the second league under Barcelona and Real Madrid. And I was shocked. I didn't believe I was playing professionally until, you know, in my first practice. You know, when I signed to Aquila Media Cabajosa, and I was just talking to Coach Angel Nieto. He was telling me, like, it's so unusual for them to find a talent from a Caribbean. Mm-hmm. You know, is either you in the U.S. and they scout you, you know, and or in Canada, you know what I'm saying? And they actually scouted me from the tournament. And I was like, wow. I remember my first my first practice. So there's reversible jerseys. There's the white jersey, you flip to the white side, and then you reverse, you flip to the black. And then I remember one of the funniest moments when I started practicing, my coach was calling me and was telling me, JP, Negro. So I'm trying to figure out, like, why is he calling me Negro? You know, like, why is he say Negro? Nigger. You know what I'm saying? But to my shock, in Spanish, black means Negro. So, I mean, I remember that practice, you know, and it was just like a real body moment with me and all my teammates, and we just laughed it out. And I remember that year, I would say, has been probably my best year playing basketball. Best year playing basketball. I was one of the leading rebounders, shot blockers in the conference, and being able to fly all over Europe to play the game that I love to play for such a long time. Like, I mean, from 16, I had hoop dreams. Like, I wish I could leave St. Lucia and play basketball. But how? Mm-hmm. And then when the doors opened, I was like, it doesn't matter what it takes. I'm going to stay the course and do whatever I have to do to make that dream happen. Sure. And, playing in Spain was amazing, man. Like, and being able to make the playoffs and playing for an organization like Aquila Mizia Cabajosa. You know, we had our own. I mean, they really took care of the players. And I still feel a part of the family. The family, you know, they always message me all the time to make sure that, you know, my professional career is going great. Because after that year, you know, I played so good. You know, the money comes, you know what I'm saying? Like, the bigger teams score.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you, playing in Spain, what was the pay like? It was good?
It was great. They were getting paid in euros. They were getting paid in euros. And it was tax-free at the time. Well, it was tax-free. they paid us great. Left Plata, you know, they really take care of it. They pay you great. And, you know, I was just out there living my dream. I remember, you know, just being in a zone. You know, every day I wake up, I work out, and I get paid to do something I love to do. I always wanted to do something that I love to. I mean, my dad was a cop for 20 years, you know, and I have the cop height and the fireman build. You know, and that's something that I never wanted to do. You know, I love my dad, and my dad, you know, has worked so hard over his years of his life, and you know, I really look up to him. But I remember when I spoke to him about playing basketball, he always told me, you know, at the end of the day, JP, you have to do something that you love to do. If you do something that you don't love to do, you won't be happy. You know, so that's always been in the back of my head. So I just keep pursuing what makes me happy. And so it's brought me this far. And, after my year in Salamanca, Spain, we made it to the playoffs. I got a call, you know, and I felt like I needed to develop my game more. And I got a call from a G League team, an NBA G League team, that was very interested in me. I'm not saying the name. And I decided, you know what? I spoke to some of the coaches, some of the guys in Spain, and some of the guys in St. Lucia. And they were just like, JB, just stay the course. Develop your game. Keep playing and just develop your game. When the time is ready, you'll be ready. So I remember I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to jump a league and play in the NM1 league. And that's a top league in France. And I signed with US Laval in Laval, France. And US Laval, I mean, they win the championship every year. So it was a different role for me. I went into US Laval with, you know, Terry Johnson is one of the best guys in the conference. And I had to share minutes with him. And it was an adjustment for me as well. But when the COVID hit, you know, the season was canceled and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, I was just, you know, just being patient, you know. And it was just my second year playing pro, you know. And Laval was beautiful. We were probably an hour away from Paris.
Nice.
You know, so I'm in Paris now, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was really nice in U.S., in Laval, France. You know, we played a couple of games. You know, we were 10-2, so we're probably going to win the championship again. You know, the collection of players that we had, and you know, due to COVID, I remember when COVID started. You know, Paris was one of the places that it hit the worst. You know, their tear gases, there were riots on the streets, and it was just a safer place for me to be with my family.
Yeah.
You know, we were given the choices where if you wanted to stay into your condo or you wanted to come, you know, visit your family. And, you know, at the time, you know, and when COVID just started, you know, everyone was like, you know, this looked like it'd be the end of a lot of things, you know. So it was just, for me, go see my family because, you know, I don't know when I will see them again. And, yeah, that was my thing. So, yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Well, man, I still have so many questions to ask you, but we're out of time. But what I would really like to for you to do, you know, is probably leave some, you know, inspiring message to the young people about following their dreams, because you've definitely followed your dreams to levels that you probably didn't even think that you would reach. So leave the young people with some advice, man.
advice, just, you know, keep working hard, stay focused. Right now, I'm about to go and play in a pro league in the U.S. with the TBL, ran by ex-NBA star Stephen Francis. So it's another big jump for me. And I'm right back into where I wanted to be in the U.S., where that NBA basin and that NBA exposure is right there for me. So I'm just telling you guys out there, you know, if you have a dream, pursue your dream, work hard, you know, be humble, be patient, and trust in God, and everything else will take care of itself.
John Paul, well said. Thank you so much, bro, and we wish you all the best and hope you would, you know, continue to carry that flag real high.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, and I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, man.
My God's good.
Yeah, man, respect. Thank you so much. That was our future NBA star. I'm saying this on his life, John Paul. Of course, right here on Radio Caribbean International, Youth Unplugged, brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia.